The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
You're listening to The Nonprofit Voice, brought to you by 100 Women Who Care About Long Island. 100 Women Who Care About Long Island is a giving circle made up of local women who want to financially support vetted Long Island charities and help shed light on the work that they do. This show is produced by Marketing Works. Good morning. This is Laura Palker, and we are so happy to be speaking with our listeners today and thrilled and honored to have our first guest, Deborah Doherty, who is the Executive Director of Canine Companions for Independence. Deborah, how are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I am doing just great, and I am so excited to be talking with you today. I am looking at your website, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as we go along, but what an amazing video. For our listeners, if you love puppies as much as I do, you get to go on the website and see them from puppy to graduate. And I see that tomorrow we have National Graduation Day.
Yes, we do. That is correct. It is the first one in since 2020 when the pandemic began, and we are so excited to be able to share it with everyone.
So definitely you want to go to the website cci.org, and you want to look at this video, and you want to find out more about National Graduation Day. However, speaking of, Canine Companions has been serving people with disabilities since 1975. And it's been a while since we had you on the show. Since, can you tell our listeners since that time, how has the organization grown and changed?
Sure, of course. There's been a lot in 47 years since 1975. I'd like to just share for those who may not be familiar that we are the leader in the service dog industry, and we enhance independence for adults, veterans, and children with disabilities by providing expertly trained service dogs. We are the largest service dog organization in the country, and as you just said, today is a very special day for us. We're preparing for our National Graduation Day, in which 46 new matches will be celebrated across the country, pushing our total number of matches to just over 7,200 since 1975. We have a total of 6 training centers that we've built across the country so that we serve all 50 states. And I am located here on Long Island at the Miller Family Campus in Medford. And that also serves as the Northeast Region Training Center, which then serves people from Maine to Virginia. So quite an expansive territory. And, you know, as you said, we've grown and changed in many ways over all those years, but we've always kept true to our core mission, and that is, again, training and placing expertly trained service dogs for people with disabilities at no cost. And we're widely recognized for the quality and longevity of those matches. And one very important reason for that is because we have our own breeding program that we've developed. At one time, we did try training rescue dogs, but did not have a great success rate with them, maybe about 1%. We've also tried over the years using different breeds of dogs, but have settled on Labradors and Golden Retrievers and crosses of the two, which we breed specifically for health and temperament.
Right, right. You know, it's amazing. I'm just in such awe of your website. I will tell you that what a huge amount of information that you have speaking about those training centers. You can go right on the website and you can see a map of the United States and you can see where the training centers are. And I just love that tagline, lead with independence, because certainly that is something that can be a confidence booster for the people that the Canine Companions serve. So on that topic, what type of disabilities does Canine Companions serve?
So we serve people with many different disabilities, but typically the most common people who come to us for dogs would have multiple sclerosis, cerebral palsy, spinal cord injuries, hearing impaired or deaf, muscular dystrophy, and post-traumatic stress disorder, or more commonly known as PTSD.
So that's quite an expansive list for sure. And now, can you tell us about the program that serves the veterans with the PTSD as the primary diagnosis?
Sure. So our PTSD service dogs are a fairly new placement to the organization within maybe the past 3 to 5 years. And its focus is to mitigate the onset of a PTSD episode by relieving mental stress, anxiety, and not a physical disability that was traditionally our focus. The dogs are trained a little bit differently in that they're able to be given hand commands in addition to verbal commands. And the reason we do that is because we want people would like to be able to be discreet in public because it is, as people refer to it, as one of the invisible disabilities. So people do want to have that option of either a verbal or a hand command. And the dogs are trained in tasks including anxiety and nightmare interruption, turning on lights, retrieving items, and supporting their handler in crowded public situations, such as standing behind them or in front of them to keep people from imposing upon their personal space.
Wow. So it's not only just the assist on the physical elements, but also on the emotional impacts of being able to operate in society and in the home. You go through the training process and then you make matches, but how do the service dogs help our nation's heroes?
So they give them that confidence and like I said, help mitigate anxiety for them or the onset of a PTSD episode. They're great companions. We have people come back and tell us all of the time who have received the dogs how much independence they have provided for them. So we have classes 4 times a year for this particular category. And most recently, we graduated a class last month at the end of the month. And we've done our follow-ups and check-ins, our initial calls with them to see how they're doing. And the feedback that we get about the way that people are able to leave their homes and reintegrate into their communities and their families once they have the dog, because they feel that the dog is, you know, just there by their side. They don't judge them, and they're able to go about in the world in a way that maybe they had not typically been able to do.
Right, right. You know, just a little segue here with, you know, the training. I'm again doing a little bit of viewing on the way the training is handled, and you're talking about science and technology and developing healthy and strong assistance dogs. So this is far more complicated than one would think.
Correct, it is. And we take that very seriously. There is a great demand for service dogs, and we want to be able to give people a dog that is going to be healthy and live as long of life as possible. And we also want to be able to serve more people to meet the demand. So that's why we do, invest in the science and the technology to improve, for constant improvement.
And a commitment to excellence. I can sure see that. So how has the pandemic affected your organization?
Well, like everyone else, it did have a great impact on our process, as you were just saying about training and so forth. Our training center here in Medford was closed for a period of about two and a half months. The dogs who were in professional training with our instructors were fostered into the homes of local volunteers and trainers. We weren't able to receive puppies from the breeding program in Santa Rosa, but we turned to virtual methods, as did many people, to keep things running. We had virtual puppy classes, follow-up sessions, fundraising events, and many of the clients that we serve have compromised immune systems and were isolated in their homes from anyone, family, friends, professional healthcare workers, who may have been needed to help them in their homes. So we were told that the dogs were really what kept them going, and they could help them as they would with, the, you know, as they normally would with their trained tasks of opening doors, drawers, turning light switches on and off, retrieving objects from the floor. And they also provided constant companionship for them.
Yeah, that's the thing that I was just thinking with that companionship, especially with people that are, you know, that are living by themselves. There's so much, you know, the people who are living by themselves have experienced a certain level of grief, and there's kind of no name for this type of grief, because whoever thought that we would be, you know, in that type of circumstance in this day and age, but mm-hmm. Having to go through the process of grief. I know that we've had a couple of our other nonprofits on and who specialize in that area, and it's quite interesting to begin to understand, you know, the mental and the emotional aspects of society and our social interactions. So, oh, I can certainly see how that was a lifesaver. So let's talk a little bit more about these dogs. So what are some of the commands the dogs learn that assist people so that they can have greater independence?
Sure. Well, as I just mentioned, they are trained to perform tasks that would help people in daily living navigate through life. And so we train them to open and close doors and drawers. There's a command called a tug, and that command can be applied in many different ways, you know, to help somebody open a door or a drawer, or even somebody that may have upper body mobility challenges. Mm-hmm. That tug command can be used to help somebody undress, tug off a sleeve on a jacket, or tug a sock off, things like that. They can tug a laundry basket down the hallway to the washer and dryer. They retrieve dropped items off the floor. They can retrieve just about any type of a dropped item, including a credit card, which I still find pretty amazing watching them do that.
Wow.
Because someone may not be able to bend over to retrieve that object. They may be able to bend over, but they may not have the core strength to lift themselves back up. So the dogs, like I said, can train or are trained to, you know, retrieve the items and deliver them to a person in three different methods so that the person can take the item from the dog and they hold on to it until they are asked to release it. So this way it doesn't fall again.
Is there a particular dog that's more suitable for a service dog or to go into this type of training?
You know, I think there are many organizations that use many different types of dogs, as well as rescue dogs. We have found for our purpose that the Labradors and the Golden Retrievers are the best for our mission. And so we use those, and we also cross those two. And we, you know, cross them and get the best of both breeds.
Wow. So that is, and I have to tell you, on the website, seeing the little Labradors, my brother has three of them, three generations. And I was responsible for babysitting the litter once it was when they were too young to leave the mother. And they are a handful, but so smart, so cute. I was like, oh my goodness, let me go back to my day job.
You know, so you that's another volunteer that we have. Since our breeding program is out in California, we have what we call volunteer breeder caretakers, mm-hmm. and they have our breeder dogs in their homes, and they whelp the litters of puppies in their homes. And it's such a huge commitment, but something that we would never be able to do without their help.
Yeah, it's they are so filled with that new enthusiasm in life. It's amazing. But so to that point, is there a particular story that you can share with our listeners that stands out about the difference a canine companion service dog has made for someone?
Yes, gosh, there are so many in the years that I've been there. But I think let's see, there was a young boy here on Long Island who had some upper body mobility issues and was not able to pull the covers up or tug the covers up, as we would say, mm-hmm. At Canine Companions. So at night, when he needed the covers pulled up for him, he would call out to mom and dad and somebody would come and cover him back up. When they got their dog, we trained with them at the facility, and we taught the dog how to tug the covers up. And the first night that they went home after they completed their training, he used the command, the young boy used the command, and mom and dad woke up the next morning and were astounded that they had slept through the entire night and not needed to get up and help their son.
You know, and that's an important aspect as well. If anybody's ever been in a caregiver role, is the importance of respite, the importance of self-care, and making sure that all of the people involved are healthy and rested. And so I can imagine that in its own right increase the quality of the relationship in the home.
Yes.
So,
yes, you're right.
You know, it's when we start to realize the work that nonprofits do on Long Island and the importance, it goes so far beyond just the surface. And as I've been doing this show and as I've been having the opportunity to speak to amazing people like yourself and your organization and learning more, I am just speechless and so grateful to you and to the work that you do and to the people in your organization that do this work to help build stronger communities and to help, you know, fill in the gaps where systems and societies have holes. And, you know, you can't think of everything, but it just seems like wherever there's a little gap because of the way our societies operate, there's a solution. And I have to tell you, you are one heck of a solution provider.
Thank you. Well, you're wonderful in the way you provide all of that information and let everybody share that information to let everyone know of all the nonprofits that are out there and the help that they can, the assistance that they can offer people.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And we still have a little bit of time, so I want to spend our last couple of minutes on talking about how can I support Canine Companions. For our listeners, if they want to make a donation, how do they do that to help further your work?
Sure. Probably the easiest way is to go visit the website, and the website is canine.org, and from there you can make a donation.
Okay, so that's a cash donation, and then now let's talk about how else can people help. Can they volunteer? Can they get involved with some fundraising events? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Volunteers, we are always in need of volunteer puppy raisers, and our puppy raisers are a critical component of our mission. They take our puppies for 18 months, and they raise them, they train them, and socialize them, teach them good house manners. For those 18 months, they also provide their medical care and food, And then they return them to us in Medford, and we take them from there. And, you know, the process continues on with professional training and health checks and match, you know, our team training, which is what we are finishing up 2 weeks of now to get to the graduation tomorrow. You can be a an office volunteer at our Medford facility, and or you can support an event. We have several events throughout the year. We have a dog fest in, which is a family pet friendly event in Massapequa, Long Island, at Marjorie Post Park, and that's in the fall. We also have another event that supports veterans, and that's called Salute Independence, and that's on November 9th at the New Hyde Park Inn. And you can find more information again on the website, canine.org.
Well, we're just finishing up our time, and I have been so thrilled to speak with you again. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.